personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
We're about a day late this week, Dal. But
and $2
okay.
Short.
Unsportsmanlike Conduct podcast back yet again.
Pick the mail out of your hair and let's do some work.
So some breaking news, though, today. So maybe it's a mild blessing we were a day late. So Notre Dame knocked Texas out of the College World Series. And I have a buddy who, when he was a kid, he proclaimed to be a big Texas fan. I don't think he really cares about college sports anymore. But he used to proclaim to be a Texas fan, so I gave him a bunch of crap about it. I'm like, aha, Texas was a top 10 team, and Notre Dame knocked him out of the College World Series. Ha-ha-ha-ha. Well, Texas got us back in a different sport. Arch Manning, the number one quarterback recruit in the country, has committed to the University of Texas today.
I saw that, and my first thought was, why?
Son of legendary Ole Miss wide receiver Cooper Manning. And I think his uncles are mildly famous, too.
Yeah. I don't think that's how he gets introduced. I think it's my uncles are Peyton and Eli, and my grandpa is Archie. And oh, by the way, my dad's the one that's the worst at football.
No, weirdly, Peyton will proclaim to this day that Cooper was the best athlete out of all of them.
He's just being nice.
Maybe, but I mean, Cooper wasn't All-American before he broke his neck.
I'll be honest. I don't know that Peyton Manning is that good of an athlete, quote-unquote.
Well, Eli claims that he beats Peyton in every sport except football.
He's a hell of a quarterback, but you wouldn't ask him to go run the 400 hurdles or anything like that.
No, actually, there's a very infamous America's Game line where Eli Manning says that Peyton hasn't invited him over for Thanksgiving since he last dunked on Peyton when they played one-on-one.
Well, why should he? I think that's perfectly fine.
But yeah, Cooper Manning, I mean, was actually a really good wide receiver at Ole Miss, but his, you know, neck not being in one piece will slow you down. Peyton can attest to that a little bit, but you know, didn't slow him down at all.
Yeah, so he is Archie Manning, of course. Archie is the grandpa,
granddad.
But it's also this young man.
I thought he was just named Arch. I thought that was intentional.
I don't know. It does say just Arch.
Yeah, I think his name is literally just Arch. So he's not actually named after his grandpa.
That's confusing.
Yeah.
Well, if he turns out to be good enough, it'll be a footnote that we...
Well, he's the number one high school quarterback in the country, and his last name is Manning. How bad could he possibly be?
That's exactly the thing. I mean, and if you're Texas, I mean, how many "we're back" memes and GIFs and sound bites have you heard over the last 5 to 10 years? It's like they had like one good season. Every year, they're perpetually overrated in the top 25. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they push them up into the top 10, and then... like later on that year, I remember not long ago they were ranked in the top 15 in the preseason, and then they did not even make a bowl game that year.
I remember.
Don't tell me they don't get treatment.
A couple of years ago, Texas was opening in Notre Dame because I remember it fondly. That was the opening day game. It was 17, 18, something like that, and it was booked as this battle of top tens. It was number 5 Notre Dame against number 10 Texas. And we ran Texas out of the stadium.
Yeah.
And I think Texas ended that year like, I don't know, 6-6?
Yeah, that actually might be the year I'm talking about. But anyway, they have got to just be clutching at their collective selves today as they're so happy Maybe he will bring them back to relevance.
Relevance, probably, though I have very unfortunate news for Texas fans that maybe didn't follow the college careers of the previous Mannings, and that is that if history tells us anything, Arch Manning is going to win a couple of Super Bowls, and he's going to be a great NFL quarterback. And in college, he will probably lose a bowl game every single year.
But you have to admit, those weren't necessarily Peyton and Eli's fault.
No, but if you're going to say, they weren't exactly on the greatest teams ever.
They weren't.
Arch Manning's going to Texas with a losing record last year.
It's true. And they're moving to the SEC. So there's that. You know, you've got to be looking at this, kind of looking at it from a standpoint of There's the name, image, likeness thing that's now in play.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, Texas has not been what they want to be on the football field for the last, well, ever since they got rid of Mac Brown. The fact of the matter is Texas still has just gobs and gobs and gobs of money. And they have alumni and boosters and people who will spend more probably wrapping their car than I make in a year. They travel like crazy. I remember Wyoming hosted Texas when Colt McCoy was still with the Longhorns. Ooh. And I was down on the field and I shot pictures of that game, and Texas brought like 3,500 fans to Laramie. And I thought, holy crap. How did they, and what's funny is some of them thought it was somewhat close to Yellowstone, which it's not.
No,
it's 400 miles away, but they still, it's like, yeah, we'll go up there. I'm just like, it's that kind of fan base. They have disposable income. And so I'm thinking of this and I'm thinking, so I'm stealing this right from the internet. Someone's like, Arch Manning's going to own like 5 oil wells by the time he leaves Texas to get drafted by, you know, whoever, the Jaguars or or whoever it's going to be.
Very weird if Jacksonville, in just 4 short years, already decided that they were tired of Trevor Lawrence.
But it's great news for Texas, but I wouldn't be shocked at all if his brand really starts taking off right there.
Because, I think his brand started the second he was born.
Well, there's that too. but I really do think he's going to be able to pull in some serious dollars at Texas with his name, and unless he plays just like absolute garbage.
And can I say, I actually remember a couple of years ago when he was a sophomore sensation in high school because he won Mr. Football in the state of Louisiana as a sophomore. And I watched some of the highlights of him throwing in high school as a sophomore. He was 16 years old. And let me tell you, at 16, he had an NFL arm.
Well,
already.
Well, let's just put it this way. He comes from a family that knows how to produce NFL quarterbacks. Two of which are going to go to the Hall of Fame. One of which maybe doesn't deserve it, but he's still going to go anyway.
Yeah.
That's a whole other thing. But the fact of the matter is, it's in their lineage. They know what drills to do. They know what people to know.
Isn't it hilarious, too, that Archie Manning got famous by being this mad, scrambling quarterback?
Yeah.
And then both his sons turned out to be Peyton and Eli.
Just foot slow. I guess what I'm saying is in an ideal world for Arch Manning, he's going to be at Texas for 2 years, is what I'm saying. Don't expect 4 years of Arch Manning in Texas. Expect 2, and then they'll decide based on his performance and, you know, if he's healthy and everything goes well, whether he looks at the NFL draft or if he stays maybe one more year, depending on what the draft class looks like or whatever. Because they know how to manipulate the draft, too. Eli Manning was supposed to go to the freaking Chargers, and he didn't because he said, we're not going there. Archie said, we're not going there. And so guess what? He didn't go there. So the same thing.
Archie
here.
Manning would never let someone from his bloodline play for a losing organization.
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't expect Arch Manning to be at Texas more than two, maybe a red shirt, depending on how he's good. But when you bring him in, aren't you expecting him to compete for that spot right away?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a 5-star blue chipper.
Potentially not even compete.
Yeah, maybe it's just his.
Like, whoever the poor, like, there's probably some junior or senior quarterback on the roster that's been sitting on the bench that goes, aha, finally, I'm the upper class. Oh.
Finally, it's my time. You know what?
To get to meet Archie Manning.
Yeah. Wow. Well, last year, their leading passer was Casey Thompson. He threw for 2,100 yards, 24 touchdowns, 9 picks. That's pretty good numbers.
That is adequate.
They also played Hudson Card at quarterback for a little bit. If I'm looking at Casey Thompson, this has him listed as a junior.
Hmm.
So
I'm sure he's loving life right now.
It's his to lose, I guess is what I'm saying. This Hudson Card that also played is listed as a freshman. He's not going to play. Arch Manning is, he's at least the number 2 quarterback coming out of high school. He's at least that. And depending on what happens in, you know, camp, he's going to be the guy. So now, is he a senior? Is he going to Texas this year or next
year? This upcoming year, yeah.
Okay, so he's drawn this out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, I would expect him to compete for the starting job right out of the gate. Yeah, there you go.
I told you, too, about that Urlacher kid that I found out after he got all these, I got an offer from Iowa, I got an offer from Arizona State. His name's Kennedy Urlacher, he's Brian's son, who, again, I know this is not the way you should actually try to scout players, but I want him on the Bears the instant he's eligible just because he's Brian Urlacher's son.
Yeah, why not?
Anyhow, I thought he was getting these offers, like, for this upcoming year, and I went, okay, so his son's at least decent, you know, D1 offers. I didn't realize he's only just finished his freshman year of high school, so he got an offer from Iowa and an offer from Arizona State. He's a freshman in high school. And,
which means not only that, he can't even accept those yet.
No.
He has to wait till he's a junior, right? So, yeah, that's kind of crazy. But, yeah, Texas is probably walking on air today that they have Arch Manning. Maybe the Longhorns will surge and be what they want to be, because they have not been, like I said, since Mac Brown left.
You know, it's weird too that maybe you don't, because you're more of a college fan than I am, and I'm more on the pro side. Maybe your brain doesn't do this, but isn't it weird how great college players have mediocre NFL careers, and it kind of stains their name in your brain?
It does a little bit.
All you can think about. And you think back to what many people call the greatest game in college football history, or at least that it's
Vince
nickname,
Young and Reggie Bush.
Vince Young versus Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush. Those were the big names in that football game.
Yeah, that was well, and the thing, and let's be truthful here.
That was the last time Texas was worth anything.
You go back and watch Reggie Bush at USC, his clips when he was at USC, and you see why people were so excited. They're like, this guy is a can't-miss dynamic player.
And to be fair, of those three, Reggie Bush was the best in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he had his moments with New Orleans where you went, okay, like, yeah, he's not a Hall of Famer, and he probably wouldn't even
not
a
even
Pro
close.
Bowler. But he had his moments of, like, I mean, you know Darren Sproles.
Oh, sure.
I'd compare Reggie Bush roughly to Darren
Sproles. Darren Sproles is, I would take Sproles way over Reggie Bush.
I'm not talking about versatility-wise. I'm talking about just purely for here's the football and run with it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, we might get three or four, you know, one-yard runs in a row. But, hey, he might break it for 90
that
on
was
one
the,
of them.
That was the old Barry Sanders formula. Might stop him 10 times and then he breaks
it. Yeah, I wasn't going to make that comparison, though.
Oh, no. Because they don't deserve it, but... But you're right. That's
how about Tariq Cohen? Reggie Bush compares favorably with Tariq Cohen.
I'd take Bush over Cohen. Anyway, yeah, I'm splitting
that
hairs.
Type was about what Reggie Bush.
You're like,
was.
Just spit it out, would you? I'm splitting hairs here. All right,
we're gonna have to rank the top 10 guys who are sort of like Reggie Bush, but not quite Reggie Bush, and the order in which we would take them. That's coming up soon, I'm sure.
You must have so much time. I don't have that. Even if I did have that much time, that's not how I'd spend it. I just sleep. I go to sleep. Hockey? You want to talk hockey?
Oh, let's.
Nassim Kadri last night.
Who?
So there's this. It was just by the nature of hockey. This happens in soccer, too.
Mm-hmm.
But just by the nature of it, the object you're trying to put in the net is moving so fast.
Mm-hmm.
And can be deflected so much. Sometimes your eyes think it kind of doesn't follow what happened. And that sort of happened on the game winner with Nassim Kadri.
Which I didn't get to see, by the way.
At least in real time. In real time, you're like, where the hell's the puck? And then they show it in slow motion, and it went right under Vasilevskiy's armpit and lodged itself in the net right on top of the bar.
Have you ever seen the Patrick Kane cup clincher? The overtime winner against the Flyers from 2010. That was the Blackhawks' very first Stanley Cup of my lifetime, and I had to wait 4 minutes to celebrate it. It's a good thing they won after that again, because it may have been ruined the moment, because Patrick Kane took a shot from almost the goal line from the left side of the net. It got past the Flyers' goaltender, and it actually wedged itself in the little... that little plastic wrap that goes around the bar that connects it to the netting. Okay. It wedged itself in there and no one could find the puck, and Kane just starts celebrating. We won the Stanley Cup. He's throwing his gloves up. He throws a stick. The Blackhawks and Flyers both just stand around for a few minutes and go, where's the puck? What happened? The ref skate over. No signal. And then finally a ref pulls the puck out of the webbing and holds it in the air. And now, okay, now the Blackhawks have won.
Well, what's interesting about it is Kadri knew it was in right away.
The shooter always does.
He saw it too, which I guess, you know where you shot it or you tried to shoot it. And let's be honest, Vasilevskiy was freaking awesome.
Usually is.
He is, but he was that overtime. The Avalanche were sending shots at him like a freaking Gatling gun, and he's turning them aside. Two of them went off the post. He's deflecting them off.
A goaltender's best friend.
I'm just saying, he's deflecting things off like crazy. But yeah, he knew. He knew that was in because it went under his armpit. And yeah, super slow-mo, it sticks in there. And so, yeah, it sort of took some of the juice out of the celebration, although the Avalanche players were celebrating. The fans were like, what the hell's going on? I was going to bring this up. So John Cooper, he's the coach of the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, maybe it shouldn't have counted. I don't want to. Because he's kind of implying that at one point, during that run, while they're making the switch, that there were six men on the ice. And the one guy wasn't within 5 feet of the bench, which is what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking to myself, and what bearing does that have on Nassim Kadri putting that under the armpit of
Vasilevskiy? Didn't we talk about this like a couple of weeks ago? The legalism versus spirit of the rule and what kind of fan each person is. Sounds like pinpoint legalism to me.
To me, Cooper's coming across like a whiner.
He's coming across like he's trying to be a lawyer.
Especially since
coaching the Lightning.
Especially since your team's won the last two Stanley Cups. And you're at home and you blew a 2-1 lead.
And by the way,
so suck it.
Blew a 2-1 lead is kind of, it's a 1-goal lead. Lots of people.
You had the lead at home with under 4 minutes left in the match.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Can I also say that, again, I'm bringing it back to, as a Chicago fan, I kind of want the Blackhawks to be like the dynasty of, at this point, it's now the last 2 decades. So part of me, that's why I'm literally rooting for Colorado in this series, just so Tampa can't reach 3. I'm like, no, we got 3. You stop at 2. And I am still, now 3-1 feels a lot better than the inevitable 2-2 that it felt like was going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm still a little bit uncomfortable.
I am too, until,
much more comfortable than I was going to be, though.
Until I start to realize what the atmosphere is going to be like for game 5 in Denver. That place is insane. It's like they've been drinking coffee in the basement for 20 years waiting for this, and now it's, I mean, the watch parties were selling out in an hour for something that is in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just absolutely cup crazy right now, and I think if the Avalanche come out with the urgency and intensity that they did in the overtime and do that in the first period and maybe get a goal in the first 10 minutes or so, I think it could be a rout. I think Lord Stanley's Cup stays in Denver. I think it's coming to Denver and it's staying in Denver because I think the Avalanche are going to win it all in the next game. That's my opinion.
Well, if they don't win it in Game 5, I'm definitely going to start the sweating because that just feels very Tampa, too.
It does.
Yeah. And they were down 2-0 to New York, and they won the thing in 6.
Well, they've been that way this year. They've overcome a lot, but they're in a pretty deep hole right now.
But can I also say, I actually recorded the game because I knew I had softball last night at 9 o'clock. Our game ends, and I might actually tell a little story about that, too, just for giggles.
That's fine.
But we're coming off the field. I'm about to leave, and one of my teammates, who's an Avs fan, goes, yes, we just won in overtime. I said, thanks. Oh, well, I guess there's no point in going home and watching that then. All righty.
Think of all the time he saved you.
True.
What a time saver.
See, I legitimately, though, am the type. Thankfully, it was just Avs Lightning, so whatever. I remember when I was in college, the Blackhawks were in they were in the playoffs. They were playing the Blues. and I had to go film a volleyball game. The MOBAP men's volleyball team was in the national championship, and we were hosting the national championship tournament. It was very exciting stuff. ESPN3 showed up, and I can officially put on my resume that while in college, I worked camera for ESPN3.
Nice.
For the men's volleyball national championship. I record, you know, I did the camera work. I did that. We won. Hey.
Yay, Missouri Baptist. MOBAPers.
Yeah, 2016.
What is the mascot?
Spartans.
Spartans. Excuse me.
I actually had the shirt on yesterday. I looked down in case I still had it on. I went, no, that was yesterday. And we won. And as I'm leaving, so MOBAP is in St. Louis. Blackhawks are playing the Blues. One of my other cameramen looked at his phone and goes, oh, hey, you want to know what happened in the hockey game? And before he could finish the sentence, I almost shoved him off the balcony just to be safe.
No!
If you even consider telling me one more piece of information, your family will be very sad. I'm sorry to say.
How Aaron wound up in a Missouri jail.
That's why I had to run away to Wyoming, where there are no laws.
And there, yeah, right. There are laws. Some of them just don't make sense. Like, you can't. This is actually a real one for this town in which we live, Afton. Mm-hmm. You cannot leave your horse tied up overnight in town. That's still on the books. It's over a 100-year-old law.
Just feels sensible.
It's over a 100-year-old law. There's still no, there's no hitching posts anymore. There is a sporting goods place in Thane called the Hitching Post, Hitching Rail. Yeah, one of them. Anyway, but there, silly laws. So tell me more about your game. Your softball story.
What the heck? We don't get a lot of really local sports news in Afton, Wyoming. No. So this is as close as we're going to get. So I'm going to tell it. First of all, I hit my first home run of the season yesterday.
Like an actual over the fence kind of deal?
Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Good stuff.
Because you're a big, fast guy. You could probably leg one out inside.
I've done that this year. Pretty easy. Yes. Speaking of, so one of our team captains is an Erickson. I don't know. I forget her first name.
There's a thousand of us.
Okay. And we have two Kazares as well.
There you go,
well.
Kazare.
Yeah. On one of the inside the Parkers, though, one of them tried to stop at third base, and I'm rounded second. I'm just screaming, I'm like, run, go!
That's what I will say. We're not exactly, well, most of us are not known for our speed. So it's yeah, they'd probably like, wow, I better play this safe. Meanwhile, yeah, you're a base behind going, I can make this easy.
No, I legitimately was almost to third base. I hadn't turned my head because I had checked to see where the fielder was. I turned back around. I'm about to run into the poor girl. I'm like, run!
Just pick her up and go.
I literally was like, I'm going to have to like pick you up and throw you in front of me into home plate. But anyhow, so we were down 9-4 in the second inning. And in softball, you can normally tell about how a game's going to go after about one inning. You're like, all right, which of us can clearly hit better? Because that's pretty much how softball goes. We're down 9-4. We were not leading until what I thought was going to be the last inning when we jump out. Now, we batted first. We jump out to a 15-11 lead, and we get bang, 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 three quick outs. And the way that this Afton Softball League works is you're just supposed to play for an hour. And then you know, whoever bats last gets to bat last.
And then you're
that's
done.
The only rule. But so it's the game started at 9. It is 9:56, and I think, okay, well, you know, we got him out. They bat last. Surely he's not going to make us play another full. Both teams have to bat for this 4 minute, and he did. And I went, are you kidding me? So we've got our 4-run lead. We're trying to protect it, and I'm thinking, okay, so we better add a little bit to this. We ended up winning that game 28-13 because in that final inning, I don't know if the other team just got exhausted of fielding or if everyone
we're
was just
done.
We batted around twice.
Oh, wow.
And I went, oh, and I thought I was going to make quite a friend that day because the other team's center fielder had a White Sox hat on. And I go over to coach third base for a bit and he's in their dugout and I go, oh, you a White Sox fan? He goes, no, I just think the hat looks cool.
Well,
like, how dare you?
No, see, this you're looking at that the wrong way. That's a chance for you to sell the brand. Well, you're in luck because they are cool, But let me tell you about the White Sox. Come on, man. Proselyte a little bit.
So that was good. Oh, actually, I remember, too. I was at the plate, and someone yelled from our dugout, "If you hit a home run here, I'll give you a Snickers." I don't think I ever got my Snickers.
Well, you better bring that up the next team meeting.
What the heck?
Hey, in inflation dollars these days, that's like $5.
So there's your weird local softball story of the day.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one. I don't think I've ever hit a home run in soft. I'm kind of a burly build, and I used to be a little more muscular than I am now. But even then, people are like, "Oh, I'll bet you." No, I really can't hit it very very hard. The irony was I could always get a single. Because usually the people get a single, you're like legging it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fast.
I had a buddy who was actually a catcher for my high school baseball team. But he plays slow pitch now, and I always joke that I'm like, there's only two possible outcomes for whatever's going to happen. He's going to hit this over the fence, he's going to jog around the bases, or he's going to hit it to the fence, and he's going to get a single out of it because he's not even going to consider than a jog.
That's pretty much. Because that other 90 feet, it's a bit much.
I don't know about that.
It's a bit much.
The guy behind me better hit a home run now, too.
You laugh. But my legs are the same length as an 8-year-old girl's. Like my femur. Seriously, when my son turned 12... My wife was making fun of me because, seriously, his legs at 12, and he's not a tall guy. I think he's barely 6 foot, but he's just built differently. He's built like his mom. She has longer legs, and I have these stubby power lifter fat legs. And seriously, my femur is about 18 inches long.
See, you sound like one of the teammates I had that I used to make fun of who could squat like 900 pounds.
I should have been a weightlifter.
And I don't think a single one of his squats on Max Out Day should have ever counted.
Yeah, it's basically like
I said, no, you have to touch your butt to the floor. That's 90 degrees for you is not the same as 90 degrees for like the rest of us.
It's like a pelvic tilt and you're done. That's kind of how it worked.
I'm like, all you did was go from flat-footed to tiptoe and go, yeah, so look at that, I squatted it.
Look at that.
And put it back. So, like, no!
In another life, my God-given body type, I probably should have been a deadlifter or something like that.
That's another one, though. We have a teammate that plays third base. His name is Josh. He goes to church with me. Perfectly fine guy. He's definitely our power hitter of the team. And I had to make a joke, though. One of the girls flew out. I think the shortstop had to back up. The girl behind him, he's at first base. Now, yeah, he went back into the outfield, but it didn't go deep outfield. Guy catches it, and Josh goes about halfway to second base before turning around. And Josh, also a burlier power-hitting kind of guy, I think I yelled across...
This is a nice way to put it.
Yeah, I think I yelled across the bases, and I went, Josh, what are you doing?
You're already halfway there.
What are you thinking about there? You think you're Ichiro now? What's going on?
He's halfway. He didn't want to waste it.
And then, I'm gonna talk up all my teams today. So from my slow pitch team to the basketball team I watch that is still playing. Did you hear that the Chicago Sky set a WNBA record the other night?
For biggest comeback, right?
The biggest comeback in WNBA history. They were down 28 points. Which, I don't know what the biggest comeback in NBA history, but I can't imagine that it's not.
I don't know
in
what
the
it is
40s
anymore.
Or 50s.
It's got to be 40 points.
Regardless,
here,
though,
I'll Google it.
I had to give and against the Las Vegas Aces. I don't know if Duke would consider himself a Vegas WNBA fan.
I doubt it.
But they're the number one team in the WNBA, and they had a 28-point lead on my Chicago Sky, the reigning national champion. WNBA Chicago Sky, by the way. Respect on the Chicago Sky. Sky came back and won 104-95. So I thought I'd give them a little bit of props. They set a record.
So the biggest comeback in NBA history. I didn't know this. It's actually our area team. We're about 3 hours north of Salt Lake City here.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the Utah Jazz in 1996... came back from 36 points down. It was 70-36.
All right. Well, that's actually closer to 28 than I thought.
And 70 to 34. Sorry. And they end up winning that game 107 to 103. So 36 points, according to my quick Google search. That's a lot of dang points.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm up, if I'm up 36 points, I'm assuming we're good. and apparently the Nuggets did too.
Well, so there's your WNBA factoid
good
of the
job,
day.
Good job, Chicago Sky.
Oh, yeah, hey, defending world champion Chicago Sky. All right.
Can I complain a little bit about the WNBA? It has nothing to do...
I will have you arrested right now.
It has nothing to do with women's... I like watching women's basketball.
There's a police officer right there arresting someone in that gas station parking.
He's busy. So, which makes it seem like we're in such a bad... It's like that never
This is
happened.
The rough part of Wyoming.
Yeah, let me tell you. I like watching girls' basketball. I like watching women's basketball. But I don't like some of the talk that comes from the WNBA when it comes to... They make these comparisons that aren't good comparisons. Like, there's the whole salary thing. People say, well, they deserve the same salary as the NBA players. And my first thought is not...
Percentage-wise, they're paid a lot more than the NBA players.
The first thing that jumps to my mind is their season's like 30 games long. 32, 30, something like that. The NBA's is 82 games.
Well, to be fair, the NFL plays, 17 games.
That's a whole different thing. But I'm talking the same sport. And then the other thing I like to point out is, okay, the WNBA is how old now? Is it 20 or 25 years now? 20? 25? Anyway, how much money were the guys making in the 20th year of the NBA? Or the 25th year, by comparison? Was it more than what you're making? I doubt it. I doubt it.
I will at least give the WNBA credit, though the big drawback, and I'm totally on this bandwagon of when they say... Oh, look at what Sue Bird makes compared to Steph Curry makes her entire salary in two quarters, and they complain. I'm like, the WNBA loses money. SBI would not pay me if we were losing money with my presence.
Well, we might.
Yeah, maybe.
But we shouldn't. Yeah.
that's not generally how that works.
But yeah, but you're right. They're not making an equal comparison. Now, if you want to talk about sports that do, like tennis, for example. In fact, I think women make more money in tennis than guys do.
I think they're more watched.
Exactly. That's exactly my point. They should. The more recent thing was with the men's and women's national soccer teams.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the same argument. They should make more than the guys. They're much more successful. I would much rather watch... the U.S. women win the World Cup then watch the guys lose to El Salvador in a qualifying round.
Well, yes.
I would. That's just...
I will say this.
I want to be the best. I want to see the best.
I still remember when the women's national team won the gold that was in like 2012.
Well, I think they've won the last several. So.
The one, though, that I remember was the one where they won and then they pulled out... They pulled out a giant banner and took a picture with it that said soccer on it. And I thought that was the funniest thing I had ever seen. Like, well, it can go back to being football when someone that calls it football beats us
there
at
you
it,
go.
I guess.
Now, to be fair, the U.S. women did not win the gold this last time. That was the big controversy. they got beat by, I think it was Sweden. But the U.S. women have been... like at the top of the world.
Losing to Sweden at a summer sport?
Dude.
How dare you?
Have you seen Sweden's athleticism? I mean, Swedish... I'm not going to get into that.
They don't even have a summer in Sweden.
Exactly. So when they have a chance, they go all out, man. You're talking to somebody with Swedish descent. So that's just like kind of where we live now. It's right now it is June 23rd. So technically, it's been summer for like, this is the third day of summer. It has froze all 3 days.
I will say this, though, regarding your point, I actually disagree with how you said it, if you meant it exactly how you phrased it, with they're more successful as a team. Again, the Chicago Sky are WNBA champions. The Chicago Bulls are a giant pile of turd.
No, but they made the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's the NBA. Half the league makes the playoffs.
Yeah, but the Bulls had not been able to do that.
We won one game.
But they weren't even doing that. So I feel like it was disappointing based on how they were playing early in the season.
Yes.
But they still made the postseason. Anyway.
There is one player on the Bulls that probably makes the entire Sky salary by himself. I'm sure of it.
Easily. There's more than one. Because Levine and
I will say, though, both the way the way that it has turned differently, though, is the last women's national team in soccer actually did the highest viewership
exactly
in soccer history for the U.S. men or women.
Yes.
And so there's the actual argument.
That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
They should get paid more.
They brought in more.
They should get paid equal or more when the numbers are equal, but don't make comparisons that aren't equal.
Yeah.
And that's what basketball tends to do. They tend to compare Sue Bird to Steph Curry, like you just said, and it's like, are you serious? I'm sorry, but that's not an equal comparison.
Would you compare, let's say,
how many Sue Bird jerseys get sold? How many Megan Rapinoe jerseys get sold?
Yeah.
A friggin' ton. So, I mean, it's different.
For instance, The Rock makes a lot more money than, say, like Amy Poehler in the acting industry because The Rock is in summer blockbuster after summer blockbuster.
And he's also built his brand for 35 years. People forget about that.
And let me just say this, and I love The Rock. And I've talked about it before, I'm a wrestling fan. I love The Rock. He's arguably the most charismatic professional wrestler that ever wrestled.
Yeah. You can argue that, yeah.
I love him. He's not like a skilled actor. Well, he's, you know, skilled to a normal person compared to the acting world. I just made the comparison. I love Parks and Recreation. I think Amy Poehler is hilarious. Great actress. But, you know, Jumanji's pulling in those high-budget movie dollars, so The Rock gets paid millions of dollars.
That's a pretty good comparison. But then there's also women in Hollywood that make a lot
Angelina
more.
Jolie probably makes there's
some women in Hollywood that make a lot more than just, you know, the guy that has the speaking role in that one thing. So again, you cannot make the same comparisons. They're just different. Anyway, I didn't mean to go into that, but
And all this is very ironic because as much as most people don't watch the WNBA, I'm making these points, and I can actually say I watched the entire WNBA finals.
I know you did.
I
know you did, and you can tell by how you talk about this that's something you watched, and that's great.
I just enjoy when Chicago is finally good at things. Dang it! I have to suffer through the Bears and Bulls and most of my life, the White Sox these years.
I think it's going to be a rough fall for you then. But that's just my two cents.
I claim what I have to.
But talking of the Bulls, there's a rumor I heard this week. I don't know if you've heard the same one. That there could be a trade involving them and the Jazz. And I read that Rudy Gobert could be headed to Chicago. Now, what they would give up for him, I'm assuming it would be like Zach LaVine. Because I kind of get the impression Zach doesn't want to be there anymore.
See, the issue with that is, does that actually make the Bulls better?
I don't know.
Or are we just the same, but we made a trade?
I really like Rudy Gobert. I do.
See,
but he's also a max. That's a max contract.
Yeah. And on top of that, you know, one of the big things with Rudy is, does he kind of disappear in games when the other team has an athletic center that can come out around the perimeter and guard him?
I guess I feel like he does fine. But whether it's just he...
I feel like at this point, the only way you're really going to like, oh, now the Bulls go from a good team to, okay, now we're a championship team. It was really cute at the beginning of last year when we got to brag about being the B team that was in first place. Like, look at this. We made this team of all...
Yeah.
Good players, but we don't need a superstar. We have all these good players and then we get to the playoffs and what happened? A team with a superstar kicked the crap out of us.
But
I think they need a...
But it also wasn't our full team. We were missing Lonzo Ball.
Sure. I still think that if the Bulls want to be a championship team, they're going to need to get a Giannis, a Durant,
those guys aren't out there to be had.
I know, that's just the problem with basketball these days.
Well, you're not going to want to hear this, but you know that I'm telling the truth. Chicago has been dismal at luring free agents to Chicago for the most part. Yeah, DeMar DeRozan came last year, which I'm not sure how that happened.
That was called the worst free agent
signing.
It was nothing short of a miracle that it worked.
But he turned out to outplay what people thought he was going to do.
Yeah.
Then you got to go back to Carlos Boozer? Seriously.
I think the last truly great free agent that we managed to lure might genuinely have been Rodman.
Yeah, that's actually a great point. And he wouldn't have come if Jordan wouldn't have been there.
We needed Michael Jordan to get someone into this Bulls organization.
Yeah, so I don't know what it is, but yeah, in other words, they're going to have to draft him.
I can kind of tell you what it is.
And you go back to that team with Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Lou Alding. That was their chance until Derek's knee got blown out.
The Bulls have the same problem that the White Sox have, and that's that Jerry Reinsdorf is the owner, and his checkbook is locked with three padlocks.
You say that, and yet he has multiple championships with the Bulls, and he has a championship with the White Sox.
He did get a championship with the White Sox.
Yeah, most owners don't get anything.
But there have been a lot of recent years when it felt like, ooh, the White Sox have two glaring needs. We need a right fielder and we need a second baseman. Uh-oh, look at that. Big name free agents are popping up. Bryce Harper is a free agent? Hey, I heard he wants $300 million. Jerry, he's Bryce Harper and we need a right fielder. Could we maybe throw $300 million at Bryce Harper? No, you'll get Leury Garcia, and you will like it.
To be fair, that's not like a normal free agent. That's like a mega.
But
baseball has gone off the freaking rails.
And then just this last year, there were a bunch of free agents. Simeon was available as a second baseman. Now, granted, we traded Craig Kimbrell to get AJ Pollock, and AJ Pollock was not supposed to be some big name. That was like, okay, he's slightly better than Adam Engel. Are we all happy? We slightly improve. And then AJ Pollock, much like DeMar DeRozan, by pure circumstance, is having a career year with his batting average right now. So, all right, fine, we got lucky. But on top of that, we didn't actually pay him a bunch of money. We traded a reliever to go get Pollock.
But I do want to go back on this.
Still don't have a second baseman.
But I do want to go back on this. If you're Chicago and Rudy Gobert is available, do you get him?
If the price is reasonable, but any more,
it's probably not going to be.
It's not going to be.
But it's probably also going to be, you're going to lose you're going to lose a key piece and not get anything back for him, which has been the Chicago way.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of Carlos Rodon tearing it up in San Francisco, good thing we totally, quote, didn't need him, end quote.
Yeah.
Thank you, White Sox. No one needs more star starting pitchers,
right? You don't
want
to have too many good ones.
Unbelievable.
Especially over 162-plus games. I mean, you only need like one guy. Satchel Paige can start every game.
I'll give him a little bit of fairness. The White Sox did just beat the Toronto Blue Jays in a series.
True.
Toronto's a legit team. And suddenly, we have our number one hitter, our number two hitter, and our number three hitter in our lineup are all hitting over 300. So, we'll call that a win. We'll give them some props. But yeah, still some holes. The Bulls have massive holes. And there's this part of the Chicago media, like the dude from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia who hasn't slept in 8 days, and he's got all the pins up on it with their conspiracy theory here, that are convinced that Anthony Davis to Chicago any year now could still happen.
I don't want him.
He grew up a Bulls fan, guys. He's totally coming to Chicago.
That is the next generation's Dwayne Wade, is what that is. Ooh, Dwayne Wade.
I like Dwayne Wade.
I loved Dwayne Wade. After he won his first championship by himself, basically, with Miami, I loved when he was at Marquette. I loved the guy. Mm-hmm. And so, but over the course of his career, he screwed Chicago at least twice, and especially the last time when it was right in the middle of the whole is Chris Bosh, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade going to re-sign with Miami crap? And he basically acts like, I mean, he goes through the whole process of, ooh, he might actually sign. Oh, my gosh, he might actually sign. He was never going to sign with Chicago, ever. And then they all came back. They won another championship. And then, like, the husk of Dwayne Wade finally played one season for the Bulls because the Heat pissed in their Cheerios and made him mad.
Remember?
And so then he came back and then retired. So we got 1 year of sub-average Dwayne Wade, but he screwed Washington fans for a decade pretending he was interested.
By the way, remember when the Bulls decided to move on from Jimmy Butler because, quote, he like couldn't get along with LaVine or something?
Yeah, I would have gotten rid of LaVine then.
Yeah, which one of the two now with hindsight should we have kept?
Well, and sorry, that's where I was at the beginning. You got a guy who grew up freaking homeless and now he's in the NBA? I'm picking the homeless guy.
I am definitely going to sound like one of those bro dude sleep, meatheads
here. He used to sleep in a damn stairwell, and now he's playing. Now he's one of the best players in the world. I'm picking that guy.
And there are some people that are just, you know, analytics nerds that hate when you use terminology like this, but I'm going to use it anyway because I believe in it. I was an athlete for many years. It's a real thing. Zach LaVine, and I'm just going to phrase it as internet-y as possible, just for fun, is a very skilled basketball player. His flaw is he don't got that dog in him, Dal.
Maybe he don't.
Jimmy Butler got that dog in him.
Well,
which one, when the game becomes a fight which one would you rather
have? Isn't that exactly what I just said?
Yeah.
I'm taking the guy that used to sleep in the stairwell.
Like, Michael Jordan is not widely considered the greatest basketball player of all time, and he was a great athlete because he was the most dominantly gifted athlete in the history of basketball.
Yeah, you could argue that's LeBron. Yeah. If you're just talking pure talent.
LeBron, Kareem, or Wilt would all be better athletes than Shaquille O'Neal was just more massive.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're just... Michael Jordan is considered the greatest basketball player of all time because Michael Jordan was the one guy that could go like 0 for 20 in a game, but then with, you know, 8 seconds left and you need one final shot, you're still giving Michael Jordan the ball.
Michael Jordan is the Batman of basketball. And what I mean by that is Batman had no real superpowers, and yet everyone still did what he said because he's effing Batman. Because he has gone through all contingencies, and no one has a greater will than he does to succeed. And beyond that, he don't care if you're his friend. I swear that's the difference between Jordan and LeBron.
And by the way,
when LeBron retires, mm-hmm. he's going to have his first wife still. His kids are going to love him.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a circle of friends. He's going to have $1 billion. He already has that, I think. And it's. I'm just saying he has like a tight, like an actual family.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan has people who fear him, people who think he's a dick, and that's about it. And then like maybe his brother and maybe his mom. I mean, and that's it. It's not like people are going to go, oh man, remember that time Michael Jordan did that when he opened that school and he paid for all the...
Remember that time Michael Jordan refused to let Chris Paul's basketball camp kids get free tennis shoes
because exactly.
he wouldn't miss a shot?
Because F you, that's why. Anyway, I just... There's a price to be paid for being that guy. And he pays it. He paid it physically and mentally, and he's paying for it now. Like I said, when LeBron is retired, that guy is going to be revered as a person, not just mm-hmm. as a basketball player, but because of some of the things that he has done
mm-hmm.
and some of the friendships and things that he has forged over time. Michael Jordan probably has like one real friend, and I think it's Charles Oakley. And I think that's about it. And then I think the rest of them is, hey, Michael, how's it going? Great. Good to see you. Oh, my God. He still scares me. I mean, it even happened this week. Did you see the little video of the kids on the scooter? There's these kids on a scooter, and there's a parking garage, mm-hmm. and they're waiting for Carmelo Anthony to come out and so they can get a picture of him. And they're waiting and waiting. Well, the guy that comes out is not Carmelo Anthony. It's freaking Michael Jordan. And they're like, oh, my gosh, Michael Jordan, Michael, we got a picture. He goes, put your phones away. way. He has no way of enforcing, hey, don't take a picture of me. And they did it, man. That's just, yeah, he's a dog. You don't mess with that guy. So
it's kind of why I used to be a very big Patriots hater. And so I was never a huge Tom Brady fan. Tom Brady is absolutely the Jordan of basketball at this point.
He does not.
It's why I'm so sick and tired of people that want to. If you're going to pull a, it's a team sport, so I want the more talented guy, then Peyton Manning. Go to Peyton Manning. If I hear one more person try to argue that Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time, I will kill that person.
I don't agree with that.
But look, he can backpedal and throw the ball 60 yards.
You could maybe make the argument, again, like the LeBron people would, that maybe he is one of, if not the most physically gifted. But I think
he is too selfish of a player.
I'm just saying.
At a position that requires selflessness.
Well, and I will also say this. If he's that good and he's been on the teams that have won that many games, you can say what you want. When he retires, if he still has just the one Super Bowl, he underperformed.
Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because most of his worst games are his last game of any given season.
Yeah, look at what just happened recently. I mean, the Packers at home in a frigid game in an MVP season for Aaron Rodgers. And,
and by the way, I don't know if you saw the one. On the play where I think it was tied 10-10, there's like under 3 minutes to go, and it was third and eight, whatever. The last time the Packers touched the ball, Aaron Rodgers decides to whip the ball 60 yards to a double-covered Devontae Adams. It goes over his head. 49ers get the punt, drive into field goal range, kick the field goal, win the game.
Yep.
On that play, he has a wide receiver, I don't remember which one, running across the middle of the field without a guy within 12 yards of him.
Well, he's got to be open because there's a double coverage.
I mean, he could have been butt naked across the middle of that field. He was so open. And Aaron Rodgers decides, you know what? I like Devontae Adams. Hey, I'm throwing to him.
But now we're just getting into your Aaron Rodgers hate, which is fine. But you're absolutely right on your
point. I could
point.
Make a separate podcast every could. Week on my Aaron Rodgers hate.
But I know, I agree with you the fact that Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time. Does that mean he's the most physically gifted?
It has almost nothing to do with his right arm.
It almost has nothing to do with his physical ability other than he's durable. I mean, other than the one major injury where he missed games and Matt Castle played the majority of that one season for New England, he's been super durable.
Matt Castle.
But is he as physically gifted as Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
He's not as physically gifted as
or even
Joe Montana.
Or even a guy like Dan Fouts. I think he genuinely, first off, he genuinely loves football.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think even when he's not talking, when he's not doing
Can
football,
I say,
he loves football.
One of the big things, and this is what I love about Russell Wilson is like this. Manning was like this. Manning's problem was not, like, I say Aaron Rodgers' biggest flaw is selfishness, and I'll explain that here in a second. Manning never had that problem, and I used to argue Manning is the GOAT a lot. What I have recently discovered as I've looked into it is Manning's biggest flaw was never want to win. It was that early in his career, he did have the problem that I used to not admit that he had, and that is that he would go a little jelly-legged in pressure moments.
Whenever I think of Peyton Manning, he's like a robot. Mm. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just that that's why they call him the professor. He would break everything down. He would practice these drills so that everything was just second nature. But I don't know that he was a terribly intuitive quarterback. But he knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he would read and react. I'm just saying, he's not like scramble around, make a play, throw across.
No.
That wasn't him. He was drop back, scan, analyze. Calculate, what's the best thing I should do? Okay, throw it away, next snap.
And here's why I often say Rodgers is a selfish player, is that the number of times that I've seen in a key moment, particularly sometimes in the regular season, let's say it's third and five, and it's a tie ball game, or you're down three, you got about 2.5 minutes left. Hut. All right, there's a little bit of pressure. I see Tunyon's over the middle. He's kind of covered. I'll throw it away. We'll punt. It's fine. That now I didn't throw an interception. My QBR is great. That's why he doesn't throw many interceptions. Tom Brady is going to go, well, you know what? The game is kind of on the line. Gronkowski's triple covered, but I might as well just throw it up to him. And that, I think, is the big difference of what are you thinking about in key moments of games? Do you give a crap about what your numbers will look like? Or do you literally forget that and go, what's the play that gives us the highest likelihood of potentially winning right now?
I agree with that.
I don't know that Aaron Rodgers ever cares about that. I think Aaron Rodgers is actively thinking about, okay, what's my TD to INT ratio right now? What's my rating look like? Oh, I don't know if I want to throw that ball because it might get picked off. I don't know that I want it. I don't know that Tom Brady has ever given a crap. Tom Brady will whip the ball straight up in the air like a punt if it's fourth down and he's under pressure. Thinks that's what he needs to do.
Even look at the playoffs this last year. I think he threw three picks in that loss in the playoffs, didn't he? Tom Brady? Am I remembering the right game?
Oh, against the Rams?
I'm just saying he had games like that this last year. So, yeah, he might have a 5-0 touchdown interception 3 or 4 times. But then in a tight game, you know, maybe things aren't going quite as well.
And he's not going to stop slinging it.
Yeah, he'll have 2 touchdowns and 3 picks or 3 touchdowns and 2 picks.
Brady does not protect his numbers. Peyton Manning did not protect his numbers.
Man, Peyton Manning's numbers were redonkulous.
They were. I will actually argue, though, that when Manning figured out that pressure didn't need to affect him later in his career, I actually genuinely believe that the greatest quarterback that ever played football might arguably be 2013-2014 Peyton Manning.
Was that the 56 touchdown season? Or
that, I'm talking about the two different seasons back, or actually 2012 to 2014. The 3-year span before he got old as a Denver Bronco might be the greatest quarterback that ever played, because not only was he great like he always was, but those years, he didn't suffer from pressure is getting to me syndrome. So he had the Tom Brady ability to step up under pressure with Peyton Manning's natural gifted abilities. The problem was that span only lasted 3 years, so you can't save it.
If you remember, there was a good chunk of the NFL thought he was done when he left the Colts. He had that neck injury. Supposedly, he couldn't throw the ball quite as hard.
See, and I was not one of those before. Because I was one of the people petitioning that we should bring him to Chicago, and the Bears never even considered it.
Yeah, but I think a lot of teams would have taken Tom there, or Peyton there, and Tom. we've only got a couple of minutes, and I do just have to throw this out there again: Washington, worst owner in sports,
and now it might legally be official.
Yes, he is going to be subpoenaed. Supposedly.
I don't know if we talked about this. The current rumor, after Deshaun Watson settled 20 of his 24 lawsuits, the NFL is currently looking to give it the current foregone front runner that everyone's reporting, the NFL wants it to be 1 year. They're going to suspend him.
It should be a minimum of a year.
They are looking into suspending him for this entire season. And if that happens, I am so sorry, Browns fans.
Oh, my heck.
Like, right now, the Browns, you kind of want to laugh at the organization, but those poor fans.
They deserve better than what they... Well, and again, we brought this up with the whole Baker Mayfield thing. But if I'm Baker Mayfield, I don't play another snap for them.
No.
The only way you would play for them again is you might actually help them win games, which means they won't get as high a draft pick when they get Deshaun Watson back. That's like the only reason you would actually play for the Browns.
Now, I'm not sure that a high draft pick even helps the Browns at this point, because they don't have any first-round picks.
Oh, well then, yeah. Screw them then. Yeah, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I just sit back and let my agent go scorched earth on the Cleveland Browns. And I like Cleveland. I spent some time there. I just, their fans deserve so much better than what they get. I mean, think about who their owner used to be. It used to be Art Modell. They still hate Art Modell. Mm-hmm. And now their ownership still is it's just garbage. Come on. You have some of the most passionate fans in the whole world. Give them something to cheer about.
And my favorite is that poor Browns fans also have to deal with the fact that Cincinnati still likes to blame the Browns for the whole, oh, you kicked Paul Brown out. And there's like a small portion of fans that vilify the Browns for that. That wasn't even the current Browns. Well, that was that, the Ravens yeah, that did that.
Not only that, the Bengals have been, you know, they were a eyelash away from winning the Super Bowl last year, too. Ugh. So I just look at the Browns, and I mean, one of the worst things you can do to a football fan is take away their optimism in the offseason.
Yeah.
So it's June, coming up on July. I'm optimistic about Washington, even though they have the crappiest owner in sports. I'm optimistic. We might have a winning record. We could potentially win the NFC East. Heck,
maybe, I have no optimism for the Bears.
Maybe we'll go to the playoffs. I am allowed that optimism because it's June, almost July. I can do that. The Browns, you have none of that. You don't get. You basically get to put a bag over your head for the 2022 fall, and that's a real shame. It really is, because just 2 years ago, you were pushing the Chiefs for the AFC title game, and now you're going to suck. You're
now. What's amazing is I really don't know if they will. Because their quarterback situation, if Watson's gone and Mayfield doesn't play, then yeah, their quarterback situation is poop.
For all I know, you're their third string, Aaron.
legitimately, that Browns team might be able to hand the ball off on every single snap.
That's a good point.
And win 7 or 8 games. Because their roster is loaded.
But that's exactly my point. They absolutely just shat themselves.
They didn't need to trade away 3 first-round picks.
And they didn't need to do it right then.
No.
It's going to go down as like the worst trade in history.
I mean, basically, they paid full price for Watson.
They paid full price for a guy who is going to be suspended
so
at
let
least
me ask
a
this.
Year.
Why wouldn't you wait to see if his court cases would leave? Because then he's still going to cost what you paid because you paid full price.
Exactly. There's a joke that we tell around here, and I don't know the guy's name, but he was an administrator for one of the high schools in Western Wyoming, and everybody was getting turf. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's doing that. Well, the day comes for them. If you're familiar with how this turf works, there's a lot of groundwork involved. In fact, mm-hmm. of $1 million field, $850,000 of it is below the surface.
So
with all the different layers of
weird
gravel
fun
and
fact
sand
about
and,
myself, but both in high school and in college, I was in attendance and on the football team when they were putting in a new turf field for both.
Well, they're actually replacing the new one at where we live right now. But this is a real story. And again, I'm not going to say the school, and I don't know the guy. But they come to do the turf and come to realize the space they made was 100 yards. Well, how long is a football field, Aaron?
120 if you want literally no
cushion. Yes. So they literally did it wrong. They literally had to scrap it.
Oh.
And up until this last couple of years, they had to use a different facility because what they tried to do before was basically a $1 million mistake. Because you can't use it for a football field because it wasn't 120. They screwed up. They made the huge mistake of the size. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that is more understandable than what the Cleveland Browns have just done in this offseason. How can you possibly say, we're going to go do this and give up this amount of assets and with no idea what's going to happen? That's just how someone gets to keep their jobs or jobs. There should be like 10 people that should have got shown the door. Except I think it's the people who own the team. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
And actually, literally, as we're talking here, breaking news, Hugh McElhenney just passed away.
Oh.
Of the $1 million backfields from the 50s and 60s.
It's been a rough week for the NFL. We didn't even get to this, but Tony Siragusa, Goose passing away, and then really a rough week for the Ravens. Jalen Ferguson, young linebacker, 26 years old, he's your age, passed away. They haven't said how or what happened there. They hadn't said with Siragusa either. I just assumed it was a good old-fashioned coronary. But I am just, yeah, sad days. I loved Goose. He was fun to watch, and then he was fun as a broadcaster too.
And then I don't remember the gentleman's name. One of the Colts starting safeties from last year. He was a 4th round pick in 2017. He just retired.
Yeah, Kari something.
Yes. His reason for retirement is that he said God has called him to go full-time into ministry.
Yeah, he's going to be a minister.
So very good for you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, bring it on, man. I hope it works out well for him.
And I remember, there was a safety from Florida several years ago, back in like 2012 or 2011, that was coming out that kept falling in the draft despite being an All-American safety because everyone knew he wanted to go back to school to get his doctorate because he wanted to be a brain surgeon. And I remember I thought, well, who cares? Draft him anyway.
You don't want a brain surgeon.
Because he's going to be so, like, he's so good at football. And now here we are. I think he played like 4 years. He was okay. Played 4 years. Well, now here we are. I think it just came out on Twitter that gentleman, and again, I wish I had the names in front of me. I forget. he is, in fact, a certified. He's got his doctorate. He's a brain surgeon.
Wow. How cool is that?
I went, oh.
Well, this isn't new, though. I mean, go back. Glenn Coffey. Remember him? Played for the Niners.
Mm-hmm.
Did the same thing. Decided, I'm going to, you know what? I played a few years. I'm going to be a minister. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So I wish him well. Again, I feel bad for these people that passed away prematurely, especially if it could have been avoided, but we have no idea what happened.
I don't think you could call Saragusa or McElhenney's premature.
No.
But the Ravens' young linebacker, that was unfortunate.
And you can say what you want about Saragusa's health, but he was still only 55.
Oh.
That's not very old.
Yeah.
Even if you are overweight looking at, and which we're just guessing. We're just guessing that might have been what it was. But anyway, good podcast, Aaron.
Thank you.
I guess we're done.
Yep. You can catch us every week on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. We'll be here almost every week. Sometimes we tend to vanish.
We do what we can.
Yeah. We attempt, if both of us are here, to get it out every week with very rare circumstances stating otherwise. Oh, and we didn't talk about the USFL playoffs are this weekend. Go Breakers. We're 0-2 against Birmingham on the season. Maybe third time's the charm.
Third time lucky.
We're not in Birmingham this time. It's a neutral site. That's all we needed, Dal. Now suddenly, it's fair contest. We're taking the win. USFL champs. I will celebrate it as hard as I did as when the Sky won the WNBA Finals last year. I will take what I can get.
Okay.
And we'll see y'all next week.